I want to go into the third message that we've been doing on marriage in the home. We've been taking Sunday nights so far, Wednesday nights to preach on this, and a little bit different tonight in that I want to take it more personal and share my own personal testimony, how God worked in my life and bring me my wife and share that from a personal standpoint. And yet I want you to look at Scripture, because this Scripture is what God gave me, and I found out later God gave my wife as far as how He would lead in providing me a wife. And it's in Genesis 24, and we've been talking about getting a wife God's way, and I want to talk about how God gave me my wife God's way. I was sharing with somebody the other night about getting my wife and having my wife, and I was talking to them about not being married, not living together before you're married, and the lady said, "Well, did you come together with your wife before you got married? Did you have physical relations before you got married?" I said, "Absolutely not. You know, we did it God's way." And sometimes you hear the preacher preaching and you wonder how that applies in his life, and I wanted to share this testimony from Genesis 24. Tonight, I went to college in Michigan. I graduated from high school. I was 18. And I went to college in Michigan. I went to a college called Calvin College. I was there for 1 year in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which was a college connected with the denomination I was part of. I was in a pre-seminary program there. A very difficult college, very hard academic college. Went there for 1 year, and then I felt led of God to get into a Baptist college, because I believe my convictions were Baptist. And so I heard about this college in Clark Summit from a pastor in Muskegon, Michigan, and I got baptized by immersion, and then I came out to Baptist Bible College here, and that was my second year of college, and I lived in the dormitory out there in Clark Summit at Baptist Bible College. That's where I met Charlie Ware, who was the first pastor of this church. After that year at Baptist Bible, I went to Florida for a summer with a friend of mine from college, and I worked there for a summer to get money for tuition to go back to college. I was in an independent fundamental Baptist church called Emmanuel Baptist Church, and amongst other people, I met Kathy Leeser, who was to become my wife. She was a college student going to Cedarville College, and that was her home church. And we met up that summer, and God worked in her life during that summer concerning me. I didn't even know about that, but He did that. And then I went back to school. I got convicted that I didn't want to be in debt, so I took off a semester and lived in an apartment in Clark Summit and worked full-time so that I wouldn't have debt, college debt. I didn't want to have that. And I worked, and then I went back to college for second semester and lived in what's called the boiler house. It was a special dormitory there, and I was elected dorm president. I was dorm president my first year of college. They elected me, and I was dorm president at boiler house, and therefore I was on the student council and all of that. That spring semester, the second semester, I began to get involved in going down to Scranton, and then that summer we lived in Dalton in a hotel, some of us students, and we came down to Scranton and started to give the gospel down here to prepare for a church, as we believe God wanted us to plant a church in Scranton. I went back to school in the next year, was back in the boiler house as my dormitory, and was there for a whole year of school, and then at the end of that year of school, my friend graduated from college. Now, I had taken off some time, so I didn't graduate at that time, and he finished up, and he was living in Madison Avenue, where I lived for that summer with him, and then when I had to go back to college, he stayed there in Madison Avenue with some of the guys that helped to start this church. And went back to college, and I lived in Ketchum Dorm. I was a resident advisor in the dormitory, and God really worked in my life, and I began to pray for my wife. I began to ask God who my wife would be. I stopped dating for a year, didn't date girls or anything like that, and I just sought God for who my wife should be. And I was in Ketchum dorm. And then while I was there, God brought my wife out to the college to be with a girlfriend of hers that was going to school at BBC, and who was to become the wife of a friend of mine, a guy friend of mine named Ken Rudolph. And while my wife was out there, I believe God spoke to my heart, this is going to be the wife for you. And that was while we were in Ketchum dorm. And then the summer of that year, I asked her to marry me. We were married in the fall of that year. Now, all of that came together, and God gave me my wife. But what I want to share with you from Genesis 24 is that Abraham, who represents God the Father, he wanted to have a wife for his son Isaac. And I personally believe that when you're saved and you're serving God, if you need a wife, God is more concerned about that than you are. And he knows your need, and he is able to take care of that, because God said it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. In other words, God knows what you need, and he can mold and make a woman that can help you. And I believe that's exactly what he did with me. I believe I would not be able to do the work that I've done. I would not be able to be a father that I've been able to be and have a home and a ministry unless I had the exact right wife that I needed. And God had to mold her and make her. You know, Adam was actually asleep when God made Eve. And God took the rib of Adam and made the wife and brought her to the man, and she was exactly what he needed. And that's really what happened with Isaac. When you stop to think of it, Abraham, who represents God the Father, got together with his servant, which represents God the Holy Spirit, and he sent the servant to find a bride for Isaac, who represents God the Son. And the servant went to find that bride back to the homeland of Abraham, where his family was from. And Abraham said, I want you to find from my homeland a suitable bride for my son. And the servant said, well, what if she's not willing to come all the way back 600 miles back to you? He said, well, then you're free from the oath that you're making. She's got to be willing to come back here and be the bride to my son back here in the promised land. And so Isaac never left. And I believe that's what happened in my life. I buried myself in Scranton. I buried myself in the ministry. I buried myself in the will of God. And I said, God, you bring into my life my wife, and you make her somebody that's going to be the right woman for me. And that is exactly, honestly, that is exactly what God did. God brought her here. God brought her out of Florida. God brought her here. And that's exactly what happened to the servant. Just to recap it in Genesis 24, the servant was traveling, and he went all the way 600 miles to the east to where Abraham told him to go in the area. And he had his camels there, and he had his entourage there. But he prayed as he was getting ready to water the camels, and he said, Lord, he said, if you would lead me to the right woman, I pray that you would lead me to the woman. And when I ask her to water, give me some water, if she will offer to water my camels, let her be the one, listen, that you have appointed for my servant Isaac. In other words, God has somebody appointed for you. If you're to be married, that's the one that can help you. And if you'll put God first, he'll lead you to that one, and he'll bring that one to you. And that's exactly what happened. A girl named Rebecca came up. She was willing to help out. The guy said, can I have some water? She said, I'll give you water, and I'll water your camels also. And then he asked who she was, and she said, I am the daughter get this, of Nahor, who was the brother of Abraham. And so God had led him to the right family, to the right woman, and God gave him the sign of exactly what he asked for. And so he worshiped God and acknowledged that was a God. Keep in mind, Isaac wasn't even there. This girl later on was asked whether she was willing to go back and whether she was willing to marry a man she really didn't know that well. And she said yes. And God brought her back. And the Bible says that they were married, and Isaac was meditating in the fields, and God brought that woman to him. And that marriage was a marriage made by God. Now, I believe God did that in my life from Genesis 24. And he showed me this scripture when I was teaching Sunday school, that that's how God would work in my life. And he did that. Little did I know that God would use this scripture and do a work in my wife's life to bring her from Florida to be my wife. And I would like to ask if my wife would give her testimony, how God dealt in her life. How he dealt in her life. She's not going to preach, but she's going to give a testimony how God worked in her life to bring her to help me. So, Mrs. Bloom, would you please come up? And I'm going to give you the microphone, and I want you to share your testimony.
I need to hold this.
What's that?
I need to hold this.
You got it.
Through a little conflict in my life between rushing for a sorority and knowing Cam and Andy Coons, God just drew my heart to them, and I knew that they had something I didn't have. I knew that they had a personal relationship with God that I didn't have, even though I was religious and a good girl. And through that time at Palm Beach Junior College, they both gave testimony to me, and finally one day Andy, the older of the two guys, sat me down and led me through the gospel. And I got saved that night. I didn't pray with him. I was embarrassed. But I went home that night and asked Christ to be my Savior. After that, I spent a lot of time at the Coons house. They were amazing as far as follow-up and discipleship. I was there all the time. And while I was there all the time, I got really close to Mrs. Coons. Mr. Coons was teaching a Bible study. I got an incredible crush on Andy, who led me to the Lord, and I just admired him because he was such a great Christian. I didn't even know a Christian before these two guys, and I became one. And I had had a crush on him for a while, and finally there was a banquet, an end of school graduation banquet, and Andy asked me to go, and I was thoroughly twittipated and so happy to go with Andy. Andy had this outgoing personality, funny. If you sat at the table where Andy was, we would have all the fun because he was hilarious. And I was very into being with Andy, and I had met Randy, pastor, after a Sunday school class. And in our Sunday school, there were a lot of deadhead teens and a few that were really on fire for the Lord. And so I would take it upon myself, if anybody would wander in the church, to go up to them and introduce myself and try and talk him into coming back to the youth group because we had a great time and all that. And Randy was standing outside of Sunday school with another guy and that he had come down with. I didn't know that. And I was trying to talk him into coming back. And he's saying, well, that sounds good. And then finally Bob laughed and said, Kathy, Randy's coming down to work with the youth group. He's from Baptist Bible College. He's living with us this summer. and he's going to be leading in the youth group. And Bob laughed. I don't remember what Randy did, but I remember thinking, very funny. You guys are cute. And I walked away. And I talked to him later, didn't know much more about him, except he was there, and you know, I had just made a fool of myself. So the banquet came, and I was there with Andy, and that's all I was thinking about. And I was sitting there, and we were having a nice time. And at the end, the pastor asked to give testimonies. And different kids gave short testimonies, and Randy raised his hand, stood up. I'm sitting with Andy. We were still sort of semi-goofing around between testimonies. And I remember as Randy gave his testimony about how much he loved God, how he wanted to serve God, how he would rather be dead than not serve God. And some of the things he said that he had said to God, I felt like my heart just flew over there. I thought, yes, yes, I've said that to God. That's how I feel. I love God too. And from the time I got saved, I can honestly say it was very real with me. I somehow understood that God was my very best friend. And I had the privilege of being the best friend with the God of the universe and hanging with him. So when this guy came down from a college in my semi-dead youth group and started talking about his love for God, I just really, really was drawn to him. And I remember Andy leaned over to say something else funny to me, and I didn't know he was as close as he was, and I kind of was like, shh, I want to hear this. And I flicked him in the nose. He's like, hey, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know. And I was listening to him. I remember my first idea was I was sorry that he was a guy, because that always gets to be a problem. Somebody gets a crush on you, then there goes your friendship. So, but I still was intrigued by his love for God. As the summer went on, and we were serving the Lord together a lot, my heart changed. I realized that I was falling more and more in love with this guy. And I thought he was falling madly in love with me too, but he just was exercising tremendous restraint. And he had high convictions, many of the convictions I had never even heard of. And so he left, and he went back to Baptist Bible College. And I remember just knowing I was in love with him. And I was sure that God brought him down there so that we could be together. And he would write to me sometimes. And I went back to Cedarville College in Ohio. He went to Pennsylvania, about a mile from our house. And he'd write his letters. They sounded a lot like an epistle. And once in a while, he'd put something in personal. And I would read it and reread it until it meant and said exactly what I wanted to say. But they were getting less frequent. They were dwindling. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand. Why in the world did you have me fall in love with this guy? I only fell in love with him because of you. I mean, why would you set me up to get hurt like this? I need to know if this is the guy, if he's in love with me or not. I got a letter the next day, and he signed it, Your Brother in Christ, Randy Bloom. And I thought, oh, okay. So I was determined that I could get over this thing. You know, after all, who was Randy Bloom anyway? I went back to Cedarville College. I dated a couple guys, nice guys, but all I could think is, you're not Randy, you're not Randy, you're not Randy. And it went on for a long time, and I thought, I can shake this thing. I graduated, started teaching at a place called King's Academy. I was the sixth grade teacher. And one of my best friends, Jenner, went to BBC, knew Randy real well, knew we were together that whole summer, but I had never told her that I was still hung up on him. And we taught together, and she got engaged, and her fiance was coming down for Christmas, and we were gonna all go out to eat. We're gonna get pizza, and I was gonna meet her Ken, and I was all for it. It was fun, something to do. And by then, I was done with this thing anyway. I mean, it had been a couple years, and I mean, if I saw Randy Bloom, I'd say, hi, how you doing? And it wouldn't mean a thing to me. So we went out to dinner. We're having a great time. Ken is another one of those hilarious guys. We're laughing, having the best time, and all of a sudden Ken says to Jenner, Jenner, you know Randy Bloom? And he said, he's praying about his wife. And I thought, all of a sudden, the fizz went out of my Coke, and I was like, oh, he's getting married. He's getting married. I don't care. I'm going home. So all I said to Jenner, you know what? I'm really tired, I'm gonna go. And she follows me in the ladies' room. You'd have to know Jenner. She's one of these bubbly, you know, you can't shake her with a stick. And she's in the ladies' room saying, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing, I'm just really tired, not feeling good. All of a sudden, she's like, oh, it's Randy. You're still in love with him. And I'm like, no, 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 I'm going home. And she's like, tell Ken. I'm like, no, I'm not telling Ken. Tell Ken what? She said, no, listen, Ken's a preacher. He's going to be a preacher. He can handle a confidence. He would never tell. And he'll you can share with him, and he'll talk to you. He could give you counsel. Besides, he knows Randy. And I'm like, no, no, no. We walk out. Ken's waiting at the door because we're in there so long. And she says, Ken, Kathy wants to tell you something. And I'm like, and I'm like, I'm really leaving. She said, no, you know Randy. She's in love with him. And I'm like, oh. And I said, I don't know. I don't know. And he said, you are? Come on, let's sit down and talk about it. And I'm like, I'm the last thing I want to do. So I sat down. I sort of told him that I was, but I was sure now I wasn't. But I just admired him. And who was he going to marry? And he said, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if he knows. He's just praying about his wife. And he said, you know what? If you're in love with him, why don't you pray and commune with God and ask God to tell you whether you'll marry him? And I remember saying to Ken, not going to work. I've gotten the biggest concordance in the world, looked up Randy Bloom, and there is no verse that says, thou shalt marry Randy Bloom. It's not going to happen. And I really think what God wants me to do is go home and forget this happened. He said, no, no, I challenge you. I challenge you. Well, he was on a subject I was interested in, so I thought, okay, I'll go home, and I told him I'd pray about it. He left and went back, and dinner still, we met every day in the morning before school to pray for our kids, to pray for school. She was my, you know, best friend, spiritual buddy. And so after about a month of praying, I was, one night I was like, God, this is on my mind all the time. I don't want to marry him if I'm not the right one for him. I know that he's highly called. I know he's special. I know you've got a great ministry for him. And if there's a girl that's going to help him to get where he needs to go better than I would be, I want you to have him be with her. I just want you to tell me, will you just tell me he's not for me so I can move on? And so I was reading in Psalm 34, and I said, please tell me if he's the one, if we should be together. And as I was reading it, said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name together. And I had just told him that I wanted to know if we should be together. And it almost jumped out of the page. And something was happening in my heart. It wasn't like the million times where I tried to find verses to back me up. I just felt like God was doing something. I'm like, oh, God, listen, my heart's beating fast. I think you're telling me something. But you know me. You can't trust me. You think you're trying to tell me something else. I know something's going on with us tonight, but you're trying to tell me something else. I'm going to read it again. And I want you to know, in case you didn't hear me, I want to talk about Randy. That's what I want to talk about right now, and I want you to tell me whether he's the one. I read the verse again. I got the same feeling when I read it. And then afterward it says, I called upon the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And again, inside, the Holy Spirit is like, you're going to marry him. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. And this is Psalm. So I'm going through the rest of this chapter, and it's one of those very encouraging chapters. And I remember thinking, Lord, you cannot trust me with this, because I have a bias. And so this is Psalms. Nobody goes for a negative opinion from Psalms. It's always encouraging. So tomorrow morning, after I pray that night, I said, I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna read the Bible again, and I want you to tell me that I know something's going on. I know you're talking to me, and you're talking to me about marriage and my heart and love and all the things that a 24-year-old's interested in. And I went to bed that night, and I knew God and I had met, but I was confused, thinking, I still think he just said, I'm going to marry Randy. I woke up the next morning, and it was one of the easiest mornings of my life to have my devotions. I grabbed my Bible, and I thought, I can't. And I was just reading through the Bible, and I had gotten to Psalms, so I didn't know where to go. And I said, Lord, I've never done this before, but I'm just going to open my Bible, and wherever it opens, I'm going to read it. And I tossed it on the bed on my lap, and it flipped open to Genesis 24. And the title on the top said A Bride for Isaac. And I thought, well, that's interesting reading. So I decided to read Genesis 24. And again, I wanted to give God a disclaimer, because I knew something was going on. I said, God, maybe you weren't telling me I'm going to marry him last night. Maybe what you were saying is he's the type of person. I need somebody who really loves you, somebody who can lead me, someone I can look up to, someone I can trust with my life. I started reading again. I'm reading the story that he just told about Isaac. And I remember thinking, maybe he's a type. Maybe there's no such thing as a one. Maybe that's from Disney, the prince. You know, maybe it's a type of person you pick. And as I was reading, I read this chapter, and I hadn't been real familiar with it before that. And it said, when the servant prayed, he said, let her be the one that you have chosen for thy servant Isaac, and it was one. And I thought, okay, God, then that's it. He's either the one or he's not the one. And I need to know, and if you would just let me know so I can move on. And I read the chapter, and it talked about Isaac and Rebekah, and I realized that through the early time of our marriage, I was a Florida girl, and I had a plan for him. I figured there's a lot of unsaved people in Florida, and it's much warmer down there. There's palm trees, and you know my way of life was down there, and I would have wanted to try and persuade him to come down, and God just really worked in my heart, and he told me Isaac never left his work where he was called. She was portable, he was not. And I knew in my heart that if I was the one, that I would be willing to come up and live anywhere. And when I first came up here, he was living in what I called the dungeon, a basement with pipes through it. And all I could think when I looked at it, leaving my West Palm Beach home, thinking maybe if I hung plants on the pipes, but I digress. So I knew as I went through that God was showing me again, same thing as the night before I was gonna marry him. He didn't know anything about it. This was just me and God. I stopped and I said to God, I want to tell you just something really honest. I admire him like I've never admired anybody spiritually. I respect him. I think he's a hunk. He's athletic. He's all those good things, but I do not want to have good fellowship for the rest of my life. I don't want to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I want him to love me passionately, because he hasn't. I was aware after the your brother in Christ letter that wasn't what I wanted to live on for the rest of my life. And so I said, God, I don't want to marry him if we're just going to be good at serving you. I want to know he's going to love me like every girl's ever dreamed of being loved. And I read the last verse, and I read it again. In fact, in those days, I almost read it off the page, but I read it again, and the last verse says, he didn't know her. He took her to his mother's tent, he loved her, and he was comforted after his mother's death. And God just, those words leaped out, and it said, he'll love you. He'll love you because I will make him love you, and he'll love you the way you want to be loved. And I said, well then, I'm in. Problem was, he didn't know anything about it. We weren't even communicating, not a lot of writing or talking in over a year from your brother in Christ letter. And I thought, okay, Lord, I know, I'll just write him one of those little girly, tricky, just cleaning out my drawer and found your address letters, how you doing, what's happening. And God took me to scripture and he showed me, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. And then in Galatians it said, have you begun in the spirit that you're now made perfect in the flesh? You're gonna take over this thing now. You're gonna do this, or is it really me? And I'm like, yes, but we are not talking and this is earth. And God said, I want you to take your hands off it and let me do it. Not only that, I want you to tell people that you're gonna marry him. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm teaching, and I remember, I thought, Lord, I don't mind knowing this, but I am really humiliated to tell anybody that I'm gonna marry a guy who doesn't even know. And I remember one of the teachers came up to me shortly after that and said, I have a really good looking younger brother who's been asking me if he could ask you out. And I remember I was just gonna make an excuse and the Holy Spirit said, tell her. And I thought, and I said, well, I'm really flattered, but I'm sort of unofficially engaged. And she said, you're engaged? And I'm like, yes, he's gonna be a preacher. He's up north in Bible college and I gotta go. And so I started telling people. I went and told my dad, who wasn't even a Christian, loved me like crazy. And his only problem with Randy was if I loved him and he was stupid enough to leave, the man had no brains anyway. So he wasn't the champion of him at that point because, you know, obviously, you know, he had a chance and blew it. So God told me to tell my dad. I was scared to death. And Daddy said, honey, I've watched your life ever since you got saved. He said, if you say you're going to marry him, you know, I believe you. My mom went out. We went out and bought pots and pans and dishes. And I loved her to death. I'm still unofficially engaged. She bought these great big pans. I still have that biggest pan. And she said, we need some big pots because she's going to be a pastor's wife and she's probably going to be cooking for a lot of people. And I thought, wow. So I'm telling everybody I'm engaged, but I haven't talked to him in over a year. I told Jenner, and she said, so this was January. By February 14th, it's Valentine's Day, Jenner's engaged to Ken. She invited me to go to her house to help her grade papers because her mom was out of town. She was afraid to be alone for two nights. She said, just come for one. I said, I'll come on the 14th, Jenner, knowing Ken was living with Randy the only time in their whole experience, and Ken was with Randy and Jenner was with me, and of course Ken's gonna call Jenner, and there that solved my problem. So I said, I'll come on Wednesday, and she said, okay, that's fine. So I was gonna go after prayer meeting. I got so convicted. God kept screaming the verse, you know, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Are you now, you know, begin the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Are you taking over now? Are you trying to do your tricks again? And I said, well, he doesn't have to call. And he said, you don't have to go. And so I told Jenner I wouldn't go. I went the next night, and I told Jenner I'm not going. She said, why? I said, God's been dealing with me because I'm trying to help again. And if this is really of him, he's going to have to do it. And I said, she said, Ken is going to call. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. You had to pay by the minute. She said, we've talked so long this week. We both said, happy Valentine's Day, and we promised each other we're not calling. I said, it's Valentine's Day. I don't care what he promised you. He's calling. And I can't come, but I'll come the next night. She comes in Thursday morning, the next day after Valentine's. She said, I told you he wouldn't call. He didn't. I said, well, maybe it's just a heart check for me. That's fine, but I'll come tonight. I went over that night. We're sitting. I remember sitting on the floor grading papers at a coffee table, and the phone rang, and Jenner's like, Ken! And I'm like, she's talking to Ken. I'm trying to mind my own business, just grading papers. And she said, he asked her what she's doing. She said, oh, I'm just here. Kathy Leeser's here with me. And he said, really? Randy's with me here with me, and he wanted to know if he could talk to her. And I'm like, huh, oh. And I'm thinking, and she said, Kathy, will you talk to Randy? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? So I'm like, how you doing? We're being real, I'm thinking I'm real casual. He said, you know, I've been thinking about you. I was wondering if I could have your address, or you know, maybe we could write. And I'm like, sure, okay, that would be fine if you want. You know, so a month later, Jenner comes up, he wrote me a letter, and I thought, well, at least I'm talking to him. That was like my little miracle. A month later, Jenner has to go up north to come to BBC, where Randy and Ken are, and she was going to bring her stuff up because they're getting married. She's going to start transporting some stuff, and she wanted to see the school. She asked me if I go. I said, no, I'm not going up there. I'm not running up there. If he wants me, he's coming down here for me. And every time I told God I would do something, he said, don't. Every time I told him I emphatically wouldn't, he said, now that's what I want you to do. So he had my parents say, you know, Robin's thinking of going to BBC, and we would really appreciate it, Kath, if you would go with Jenner and, you know, check out the school. And I'm like, and I'd never seen BBC, and I'm like, okay. So I went. Jenner knew all about it. So I told Jenner, I said, listen to me. Do not leave me alone. I don't know if I'm going to run into Randy or not, but do not leave me alone. I know you haven't seen Ken. I know you want time with Ken. I'll be sensitive. I'll go back to the dorm, but don't just leave me alone, okay? You promise? Oh, no, no, I won't. So we go, get off the plane. Ken's there to meet her. All of a sudden, behind Ken, I see this other guy, and I realize it's Randy. And I'm like, okay, be casual. And I'm like, hi. He said, I guess we're all going over to Ken's house. So he made dinner. We're going to eat there, and then we're going to go do something else. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just thinking, oh, this is really awkward. I don't want my face to betray me. We have dinner, but Jenner and Ken are hilarious. We're all laughing. The whole night's moving fast. Everything's going good. If I could just get out of here and not make a fool of myself, everything would be good. After dinner, Jenner walks over and goes, Ken and I are going to take a walk. And I'm like, well, why don't we all take a walk? She's like, no, you stay here. And I'm like, Jenner. She's like, Jenner, maybe, and she's like, no, you're fine. And then I kind of dragged her into the bathroom, and I'm like, what are you doing? You promised. And she said, oh, don't worry, you look cute, just be yourself. And she takes off, and I'm like, fine. So I walk out, there's dishes on the table, I'm trying to do dishes, and I'm trying to just stay busy. He's helping me with the dishes. I'm thinking, you better not be long, Jenner, I will kill you. And afterward, I thought, I'll talk about things that are spiritual. I mean, after all, I have all these epistles to know that that's where we can connect. And I started talking about, what's he doing? And he said, well, you know, I'm teaching Sunday school. And I said, you are? I said, that's interesting. What do you teach? And he said, it's funny. I mean, I'm single, but I'm teaching on marriage. And I'm thinking, oh, great. And I said, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And he said, yeah, it's really interesting. He said, you know where I'm studying now? Genesis 24. Have you ever studied Genesis 24? And I'm like, oh, I've read it. And he's like, yeah, Kath, listen. You know what I found out about you? Ever wonder how you're going to know who you're going to be in love with for the rest of your life? Like, you don't make a mistake, you don't change your mind 10 years later. How do you know these things? You ever worry about that? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. And he's like, you know what? Look at this verse. Look at this. Isaac didn't even know her. And he met her. He knew he was God's will. She was perfect for him. She was beautiful. He loved her, and he loved her for the rest of his life. When God shows a person who they're going to marry, they'll love them with the power of the Godhead for the rest of their life. And I'm thinking, that was my little secret thing with God. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really interesting. Jenner. And so they did come back. We split up, and I was on campus. He invited me to go help him minister, and then he stood me up. I'm still mad at him. But he took off. He sent a guy to come tell me that he had to go, and the guy didn't come. So I hadn't eaten all day. The guy came over to tell me it's Kathy Leeser up there, and I'm in the dorm. I'm like, I'm Kathy Leeser. And he said, you're not going to dinner. And he walked away, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, where's the cafeteria? And he said, it's closed. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, Lord, I might be going to marry him, but I don't even like him. You know, I mean, that was wrong. You know, so the next day, I'm still upset, but I was basically doing the little girl run around everywhere I thought he would be. And he was everywhere where he should have been, and we're missing each other. So a couple days went by, and God had to deal with me to put it back in his hands. And he gave me the verse, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none on earth I desire beside thee. And I was memorizing the chapter, and I said it easily, and he said, what'd you just say? And I'm like, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none on earth I desire. And he said, oh, really? And I'm like, well, that's not even fair. I got 5 days. I haven't seen him in a year. You told me I'm going to marry him. I'm human. And God said, I want you to love me most. So we sat by the lake, and God just really flooded my heart. And I did love him most. And I thought, okay, I'll see him or I won't see him. God, I'm hanging with you. I went in the cafeteria. He ran up behind me. He said, I've been looking for you all over campus. Where have you been? And I went to him everywhere I thought you'd be. And we were together until I got back on the plane to fly home. And in the plane, I remember Jenner saying, I hadn't seen her since she dumped me at her house, at the house. And she said, what happened? And I said, nothing. She said, how'd it go with Randy? And I said, well, she said, he say anything? I said, nothing, except that he would love me with all the power of the Godhead for the rest of my life. And she said, he said that? And I said, well, he doesn't really know he said that, but he did say that. I went home, life is normal. We're teaching every day, praying every morning. One morning, I'm happy, minding my own business, trying to walk with God and do what I'm told. Jenner comes in during our prayer meeting, and she said, I gotta tell you something. I said, okay. And she said, you're gonna be mad. And I said, I'm not gonna be mad, why? And she said, Ken told Randy. And I was like, what? And she said, Ken told Randy. And I said, Ken told Randy about me? And she said, yeah. And I said, what'd he say? And he said, there's a real pretty little girl in Florida who loves you with all her heart. And I'm like, this preacher who can keep a confidence, the same one is the one who told, and she said, yeah, he shouldn't have. I'm like, and I said, oh, really? And I was so upset. So I sat down, wrote a letter to him to tell him that it was obvious that I had been interested in him, but God had done a lot in my life, and I was at the place where all I wanted was God's will, and if he wasn't God's will, there's no way he could convince me to be interested in him. Of course, I knew which of those was true, but I wrote him a letter and sent it, and Charlie had asked me when I was up there in spring if I would come and help out at the camp during the summer, and I told him I would. I would counsel up north and help Charlie, Pastor Dr. Ware. And so I told Randy that Charlie had asked me to help, but I would not come up there if my presence would make him uncomfortable. In fact, I had no purpose in coming up there ever anyway. And so he assured me that I should come and not to worry about it, that we were friends and I should come. So I came up and I worked at the camp for 3 weeks. We had kids that came in from New York City, tough group of kids, scary group of kids. Anyway, we had a bunch of girls and I got to really love them. They were toughies. But he would come up, I was there all week, didn't see him, working like 18-hour shifts, and he came up a couple times. One time he came up, we just walked and prayed a little bit. Another time he came up and he preached and he left. So it wasn't like I was seeing him. And meanwhile, I had seen him one time to ask him, am I okay? Yeah. All right. he asked for it. I was teaching at a Christian school, a very large, expensive Christian school, a nice Christian school, and they had wanted me to come back the next year and to be the dean of women. And I was going to, and then I didn't have a piece about it. And so I said, I can't sign now. And usually you sign like in January. And I kept putting them off. And they said, okay, we have to know by July, the latest. So I saw Randy and I said, King's keeps asking me if I will sign for them. And I can't, I just don't have a piece about it, but I don't know why. And it's a high honor for me to have an office and Dean of Women because I was doing a lot of counseling. Meanwhile, another school in an area, another very nice, prestigious school, heard about me, said they would top anything King's would give me if they could have me. They didn't even know me. And I'm like, and I said to him, what school should I sign? I don't know what to do. Because if he was nothing else, he was a spiritual rock, and he always would say something that God would use to help my heart. And he said, well, which school did God tell you to sign? And I said, I don't know, neither. And I said, but he didn't say not to. And he said, well, you can't run around the world doing everything he didn't tell you not to do. And I said, so I tell them both no. And he said, and I said, okay, that's what I'll do. So I called both schools, told them no, I wouldn't teach. So now I have no school, no job for the fall. And now I'm up here camp, last day of school at camp. I get a call from a school in Dunmore, didn't even know me, wanted me to come out for an interview and to see if I would teach in their school. I don't know how they got my name. Maybe Jenner, I don't know. But anyway, I was supposed to go out and interview with them. So I thought, okay, maybe this is what God wants me to do. So I went out to interview in Dunmore. We're talking for a long time. I was totally at ease. I had really good fellowship with this whole panel of men and women. And then they said, oh, we have one stipulation. You have to be a member of our church. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. I'm really sorry. I can't do that. They said, why? And I said, I'm engaged, unofficially engaged to a guy who's assisting to build another church. And they said, oh, well, if you'll step outside, we'll have a meeting. We've never had a teacher here that didn't go to our church. And I'm like, so I'm waiting outside thinking, okay, Lord, this isn't what you want. They came out and they said, we'll let you teach anyway. And I'm like, but I still, again, no peace. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna need a day or two. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I don't feel comfortable. Now I'm feeling really stupid. I'm thinking I'm new at this communion with God, and all of a sudden I've got this hocus pocus Christianity, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm probably making all these mistakes, and I don't know what's going on. I'm in the car coming back with Ken and Jenner, and I am so depressed coming back to the camp. And another thing, when I was leaving to go on this interview, for the first time in a week, Randy went in. And I thought, oh great, the day he's here, I'm not. So I'm coming back in, I'm depressed. We promised the girls that we'd have a last night party and I was gonna get cookies and milk. So I told them we had to stop. I bought some cookies and a bunch of cookies and milk. And I'm coming in, all I could do is not cry. I walked in, I saw Sharon, and I said, Sharon, what's going on? And I said, is Randy still here? And she said, no, he left about 20 minutes ago. And I'm like, figures, you know. And then I said, what's he doing? Did he preach? And I thought, well, just tell me what he preached. Maybe there's something in the verse that'll help me. And she said, no, it's funny. He didn't preach. He just kind of walked around talking to Rose Lee Bancroft all night, who was a professor at the college. I'm like, oh, okay. So I dragged my cookies, myself, and my milk into this double trailer. And I'm standing there trying to be like, okay, let's party. And all I wanted to do was everybody leave me alone so I could find some place to cry. And I'm sitting there, and I walk through, and Rosalie's on the other side of the trailer. I'm passing out cookies, trying to be this party counselor. Walked on the other side, and Rosalie said, what happened at the interview? And I said, Rosalie, they offered me the job, in spite of the fact I won't go to their church. And I told them no, pretty basically, told them no. I've told everybody no. I don't know what I'm doing. And Rosalie says, that's okay. You don't need to teach. And I'm thinking, she's a professor, and I'm like, I don't have a job. I've got my education. I should be teaching. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, she had been hanging with him all night. And she had that little, I know something you don't know in her voice. And I said, Rosalie, I'm at the end here. Don't mess with me. What do you know? And why is it okay that I've turned down three perfectly good schools to teach? And she said, well, no big reason except Randy doesn't want his wife teaching. And I said, well, what does that have to do with me? And she said, well, he kind of came out here tonight to ask you to marry him. And I'm like, Oh, and Jenner and I had this code for it. It was called the Red Sea. If it ever happened, it was going to be the Red Sea. So I'm on my side of the trailer. All the girls are eating cookies and squirting each other with stuff. And I'm screaming, the Red Sea, Jenner, Jenner, it's the Red Sea. And she comes running in. We're jumping around. She's like, what? And Rosalie said, he came out to ask her to marry him. I'm like, he asked me to marry him. So we're making so much noise. All the girls come in. They're like, that guy that came up and took a walk with you, we knew he was for you. And I'm like, yes, we're going to get married. So then it leaked out to all the counselors who are also his friends. And he sort of hadn't talked to me yet. So we're all partying now. The whole camp, we're partying. We're having a happy engagement party. And I felt fairly safe because all these crazy kids, these tough kids, were getting on a bus and going back to New York. But I still had a little problem with the counselors. And so I said to him, you know, if you don't mind, please don't say anything to Randy because it's not really official. He kind of hasn't talked to me yet. And they're laughing. They're like, okay, we won't tell. So we go home. I remember the next Saturday, I got all dressed up in my most likely to be engaged outfit. And he didn't call all day. And I thought, okay. Next day, got dressed in my second choice for getting engaged outfit. And we're at camp, and I don't remember everything, but I remember Charlie said, delight thyself in thy Lord, in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And I'm thinking. And so then afterward, he comes up to me and he says, can I walk you home? And I said, sure. And he said, how come you were going out for an interview when I was coming in to interview you? And I said, since when do you have to interview me? And he said, only when it's important and it's informal, or it's formal. I came out because I know that God has shown me that you're the one and that I was going to ask you to marry me. And I said yes. And and then I didn't want us to start a marriage with this big secret, so I said, honey, would you be upset if I was to tell you that we already had an engagement party Friday night? And he said, no. If you wouldn't be mad that I asked the whole church to pray that we'd find an apartment and furniture Wednesday. And I'm like, I'm not mad if you're not mad. And so we did. We got married a few month later. And I guess right now we're in our 41 distance of living happily ever after.
Amen. She was living in the lap of luxury in West Palm Beach, Florida. Her father had built a $1 million business, and I had been in Michigan and then in this ministry and living in a bottom apartment where mice were running all over, and we'd catch the mice and hang them up. That just shows you the kind of princess that God gave me and I did not deserve and still do not deserve. But when I say, you know, God is concerned to find the right one, and you fix your eyes on the Lord and you follow the Lord, he's able to do great and mighty things. He's able to work very powerfully. And that's what he did in this situation and brought about an amazing woman you don't need me to tell you. Anybody that knows her testimony, knows her life, knows that I got somebody that I could have never found on my own, and she is the perfect woman for me. I mean, just the fit. And God did that. And that's what he did for Isaac in Genesis 24. And I share this tonight because we've been talking about marriage, we've been talking about the home, and this is many years later, and there are some young people in this church. And I want to encourage you not to have this exact same testimony, but to read Genesis 24 and to put God first and to stay in the will of God and stay where God wants you to be, just like I did. I was in Scranton. I was in the local church. I was with the man of God. I was serving the Lord. And I was asking God to work in the wife that would be right for me. And I didn't know who that was. But God opened my eyes and showed me the lovely lady. the princess that he had for me and put us together. My love for her is with great appreciation for who she is. I'm humbled by the kind of woman that God gave me. And I share this with you tonight just to encourage you that God can work in your life, and he can, if you're not married and you're single, God can make a marriage in your life.
Amen.
That is amazing. And I believe that there are young people that need to get married, and God is still the God of Genesis 24. And we don't need to mess it up. We don't need to tinker and get involved and break God's principles in order for us to get married. And I hope you see that tonight. If you see nothing else tonight, you see there is a living God who follows the principles of his word. And here's a marriage. It's not the only model for marriage in the Bible, but it is a model for marriage, Genesis 24, and how God put this woman into the life of this man of God. And thank God for my wife. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed.